Hello, CKUW listener. This is Scott Price. Recently, with the closing of the grocery store in the Bay downtown, there has been debate and discussion on how to get a grocery store in downtown Winnipeg. Local writer Rob Galston wrote an article for the Uniter in May called Closing Up Shop about the issue of a grocery store downtown and the economics that underpin it. In this first part of the interview I did with Rob, we talk about why a grocery store in downtown Winnipeg has been kind of a white whale, and also the notion of a food desert. All right, so Rob, now as you pointed out in your article, Closing Up Shop, there seems to be no shortage of capacity to get center venture developments and other tax breaks for large developments and things like that. But there is this grocery store that's kind of been this white whale for downtown Winnipeg that's people been talking about for the last little while now. Why has a grocery store in downtown Winnipeg been so hard to get?
First of all, like what I found so interesting about this whole issue has been it's become such a big issue recently, especially with the Bay closing their grocery store in the basement, leaving kind of a huge hole in the market for people, you know, that live all across downtown, really, and even, you know, some of the surrounding neighborhoods. But anyway, it's been interesting to hear the explaining from counselors, from Center Venture, that, you know, we can't just go in here and play market with grocery stores, you know, and it's tricky to offer incentives, and it's, you know, this kind of thing. And these are the same people that do this continually for just about every development that goes downtown, for small things, for big things, mostly big things, things that, frankly, probably don't need any kind of direct subsidy, but they receive them anyway. Things like a parkade being built by the same company that owns the Winnipeg Jets. Same with the Winnipeg Regional Health Authority, you know, a very large bureaucracy, you know, getting all kinds of tax breaks and things like that. So there is, you know, from the city's end, it's kind of silly for them to say, you know, well, it's not really our place to be directly involved in getting a grocery store.
Yeah.
But I guess, I mean, it is a fairly tricky business to get a grocery store, especially when you're kind of looking at getting the conventional, you know, big, large chain kind of supermarket downtown. That would be a great thing for people that live downtown. You know, obviously it provides a lot of convenience. You can get everything in one place, all sorts of things. But it's tricky because these, you know, the supermarkets, the big supermarket chains that operate on that scale, you know, they look at downtown Winnipeg, which is a very small, kind of emerging, risky market, and they think, well, that doesn't really fit our business model, frankly. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it is a tricky thing. But at the same time, I find it really funny that that city authorities are, you know, just have no interest in trying.
Yeah. There's no political will there.
Right. Yeah. There's very little. I mean, even though it has become a big issue among the public, it's still, you know, they don't seem to really want to take that on fully.
But why though? I don't understand why not. Like, maybe you're the wrong person to ask. Maybe I should be asking them, but it just seems so counterintuitive.
Yeah, well, I mean, most, you know, a lot of Winnipeggers, you know, are increasingly coming around to the idea that downtown, first and foremost, needs residents. And it needs residents walking around. It needs residents, like, doing a lot of their living and, you know, feeling safe and walking around. And a big part of that is having access to services that people need on a day-to-day basis, you know. So grocery stores are a huge thing. So that's continually being recognized as, you know, something that's a vital piece of making downtown kind of more like, you know, of a more exciting, you know, happening neighborhood that's, you know, not so underbuilt, underused kind of thing. But I think there's a lot of you know, people at the, like, elected officials, you know, people in the development world, whether that's, you know, Center Venture, like a public development company, or, you know, the private development company, who just frankly really don't care about seeing downtown become something like that, seeing it become like a, you know, a great little mixed use residential neighborhood. Mm-hmm. They're pretty excited with what's going on already, which is an expanded convention center, an NHL hockey team, and, you know, kind of just a potentially tallest, you know, building in the city. And, you know, it's pretty exciting from their perspective. And, you know, not all of these things are entirely bad or anything like that. But, I mean, when it comes down to, you know, trying to figure out the slightly less glamorous, you know, business of, you know, trying to make a livable neighborhood, that's not really in their interest. It's not as exciting to them, maybe.
Yeah, no, okay. Boom. So now there's also this thing, and you talk about it in the article, is the food desert, and then how downtown is people have used the term food desert, especially more recently, more in the inner city with some things closing. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that's an appropriate term to talk about when you talk about downtown Winnipeg, that it's a food desert? Is that, do you think that's an appropriate moniker to use?
I think it's a worthwhile term to keep in mind. I don't see downtown being a food desert, just because there is a fair amount of grocery services. It depends on what you mean by food desert, maybe. Because I know for a lot of people, fresh food, is it as fresh and as affordable as in, you know, a wealthy suburb or something like that?
Yeah.
And so that is debatable, and it's certainly a different, you can get groceries living downtown without having to leave downtown, because of, you know, there is, you know, like one, maybe two, you know, kind of mid-sized supermarkets, and then a whole host of smaller stores.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of a different way of shopping than, you know, Winnipeggers conventionally think of grocery shopping now, which is just load up the car, you know, get everything you need under one roof.
Yeah.
And but it's kind of a different way, and I mean it's certainly not ideal. But I wouldn't call downtown Winnipeg a food desert or a grocery desert.
Yeah.
And same with the inner city. I mean, it is kind of concerning, and kind of it's something. I mean, it doesn't make sense on, you know, on the ground level to me that, you know, say the Extra Foods are closing up on Cumberland and on North Main and things like that. I mean, because these neighborhoods are not declining as they used to. You know, they're growing. In fact, Spence neighborhood is growing. You know, there's really no reason for them to close, purely because of the local economic situation.
Right.
But it's something bigger. I mean, it's some kind of, like, you know, it's outside of Winnipeg. I think kind of what you're seeing with, you know, Sobeys buying Safeway and Extra Foods moving. I mean, there's rumors that those will be replaced by some other of the same, like, parent companies,
right,
chain or whatever. Yeah. So that would be a good thing. But, you know, certainly I don't think that all of these grocery stores closing up, and even the downtown Bay, I don't see that as a reflection of the local economic situation. I see that more of, like, just weird things in the national grocery store world.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's pretty cutthroat. Like, it's very cutthroat.
Yeah.
I mean, the margins of profit are so slim, and I mean, Sobeys buying up Safeway is a key example of that kind of concentration, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think even just thinking myself, like the food desert thing, I had a friend of a friend kind of thing. He lived in Exchange District for a while, right by McDermott and Albert, basically, in the Bates building. It's somewhere around there. Now, talk about grocery stuff. What he figured out is he just went, there's a couple little shops in Chinatown he would go to get his basic stuff. And he just figured out which ones had what. And he would just go.
Right.
So it's just like, he's not living in a food desert necessarily. Like, yeah, he doesn't have a Costco
right
there.
Yeah.
But he would go there, or he would go to the, I think it's on William, just a bit further up William, but not quite to the Health Sciences Center. There's like a Young's Food Market.
Oh, yeah.
Asian food markets. And he would just go there and get most of the stuff he would need, right? So it's not, I think that's a good point. It's like, it depends what you mean by shopping. It depends what you mean, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's been the case for a number of people I've known who have lived downtown, lived in the Exchange, is that they all of a sudden discover that Giant Tiger is more than just sweatpants and cigarettes, and that there's, and you know, they maybe have to like get over some preconceived notions about the particular store, or you know, swallow their pride, or you know, get over their fear or something. But they discover that that's actually Giant Tiger on Donald and Ellis is actually, you know, kind of a lifesaver for a lot of Exchange District residents, from what I hear. Is that you know, certainly you're not going to find the best organic produce and, you know, all kind of like, you know, the all the hip kale and the quinoa and stuff like that. But I mean, when you need to get rye bread or you need to get a glass of milk or a quart of milk or something like that, it's a huge asset. And, and same with the stores in Chinatown and, you know, all kinds of things like that.
Also interesting, and talking about political will and you know, about kind of politicians not wanting to do, get into grocery business. This is kind of, you know, we don't want to, we can't give the subsidies for them. And in talking about this in the article, you talk about the difference between being pro-business and pro-market. I think that's an interesting distinction. So explain what that is.
Well, the two terms, pro-business and pro-market, kind of get lumped in together, both by people who are, you know, proponents of one or both, or, you know, people who are skeptical of, you know, the pro-business, pro-market approach. But there is a difference in that pro-business is, you know, government public policies that favor, you know, the existing set of businesses or corporations, or, you know, like a certain number of players as they exist now, and they develop policies that keep those guys going, keep those guys, you know, being able to profit, you know, without any kind of, you know, things like challenging that.
Yeah.
The status quo, you know, just really benefiting what is already there as far as the business world goes. Pro markets is, you know, a kind of, it would be policies that recognize that markets have like an incredible role to play in cities and neighborhoods, how they change. And so it's pro markets is, you know, it's not favoring things as they are, but the way things can be. Mm. And so, you know, so if that means that, you know, say a new grocery store chain starts up, you know, starts very small and just grows and grows and becomes, you know, all of a sudden they have 5 supermarkets across the city or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, how, like, pro-market policies would look at how do we bring stuff like that about? You know, how do we bring new players into the market? How do we let, you know, players who want to leave the market, you know, close up shop, say, you know, how, like, you know, that kind of like relatively easy access and access to the market,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to pro business, which is just kind of what do we do to make sure that, you know, Sobeys or IGA or Safeway, you know, well, that's just one thing now. But, you know, well, how do we make sure that they can do what they want? You know, how can we make life really easy for them, kind of thing? So,
Okay. Yeah. Now, but in talking about market and stuff like that, is there such a market right now that's in existence that can do that? Like, to give the healthy competition and to do all that, those sorts of things. Is it in existence, like, right now, today? Like, underneath the levels of intervention and cronyism and what have you. Is it actually, do you think it's actually there? Or is it something that would need to be actually created?
Well, I don't think, I think, I mean, with, I, you know, with like the way city regulations and city policies are, there isn't really quite a purely, you know, free market. Like,
right,
I can't think of an example of that. There's some, you know, there's things that are, you know, less regulated, or, you know, less you know, influenced by outside factors. I'm not one who believes that, you know, if we do a certain amount of things, if we get out of the way enough, then the market will just, you know, function perfectly, and, you know,
all kinds of
I mean, there is a lot of good that can come from you know, like, kind of the flourishing of new ideas and, you know, like, money and people and ideas coming together and doing a lot of good things, I guess. But but I don't really see that happening. And I mean, even with you know, the small business world in Winnipeg, you know, you see like a new restaurant opening up on Sargent, or a new coffee shop opening up on Sherbrooke or something like that. I mean, those are kind of the small things that come from the ground up. But yeah, even that is, you know, that whole world of small businesses and things like that is so influenced by cities' priorities and cities' regulations, which can really hamper, you know, some of the flourishing of those smaller businesses mm-hmm. opening up. You know, zoning regulations that, you know, mandate you need a bunch of parking spots for your to open up a business,
right? Yeah.
Or, you know, occupancy permits that just take months and months to get when it's a relatively simple process, things like that. You know, that all kind of influences it, and so we're really not seeing, you know, like a pure free market.
Yeah.
You know, even among like, you know, a relatively more dynamic business climate of small business in Winnipeg. So
yeah. Now another thing, this is about the market stuff. You know, it's interesting, like the saying of like, well, you know, this competition and allowing new players to get in and stuff like that. Now, in taking that kind of mindset, but then looking at another problem, another kind of issue that's there in Winnipeg, is that, you know, there's so much of this condo development,
mm-hmm.
a lot actually, like going down, I bike down Waterfront every day, and it's like, mm-hmm. wow, like from last summer to this summer, it's insane.
Yeah.
The stuff that's going up. And then the other people have raised the point of like, well, that's great, but what about low affordable housing, low cost housing kind of stuff?
Right.
You know, so can the market provide that in any way? Is it possible for the market to give sort of a low cost housing? Because it seems like a lot of people would say, well, no, that would mean that they're just... It's going to be the most expensive thing.
Right.
And it's just going to be expensive condos. They're not going to give a chance for more mixed income developments. Can the market, with parentheses, do that?
I think it can. And I think in downtown it's a little, you know, I think the problem in downtown is that people are, you know, take a very conservative approach to development, and you know, because it is a risky place to do business, and so they feel like we need to, you know, recoup these costs, and you know, and it's, and so it's not a very it's not exactly dynamic right now, but I think overall, and I think it certainly applies to Winnipeg and downtown Winnipeg, is that the market, you know, like kind of a dynamic market of people, you know, building housing, certainly can create affordable housing. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to solve the problem,
right?
Certainly, and there is definitely a role for government to play in the provision of affordable housing, you know, for mm-hmm. low income people.
Yeah.
But certainly, there's a lot that can be done in the private market that is more than just $250,000 plus condos going up on mm-hmm. Waterfront Drive. I think that's fine. Like I think that it's great that you know, there's kind of like high end housing options going up in downtown, so that's fine with me. But I think what we're seeing is that it's the downtown housing market is largely you know, larger players, longtime development companies that have been in Winnipeg for decades, and you know, most of what they've done has been conventional suburbia. So single family homes, and then, you know, kind of like multifamily, like 55 plus seniors condos on St. Mary's Road or something like that. And so they're very, you know, they're very set in their ways, and they go according to their own business models and their own profit margins and things. And so they look at doing something downtown, and they crunch the numbers according to the way they do things, which is, you know, big developments. You know, at a certain profit margin, and they look and they say, well, in order to get that profit margin, we need to sell it at, you know, we need to start at 325,000 or something like that. But I think when you have smaller players come in, they can do a lot because they're not operating on those same kind of models, and so they're just happy to, you know, they can kind of respond more to the demand for lower income housing. I mean, or, you know, more affordably priced condos, apartments, and things like that.
Yeah.
So that you have a more, more mixed, like a mixed income neighborhood.
Yeah.
Rather than just have it, you know, I wouldn't want to see, I think that's the danger in, while it's positive that this, you know, the development we have seen has happened, there's kind of a hazard in turning the Exchange District into just a bedroom community for the very wealthy kind of thing. Mm. And so I think that there's all sorts of ways that smaller developers can provide things more affordably. And also, I mean, outside of downtown, certainly, in traditionally residential neighborhoods, there's all sorts of ways that people can, take one single lot, that held like, say a single family home built 100 years ago or something, and, take that down or completely rehab it. And so it's like, four units and, you sell those at, a comparatively low price, or you can add a secondary suite in the back or in the attic. So these are all kinds of ways to create, fairly affordable rental housing or, small, like low-priced condos and things like that. So mm-hmm. I think there is. But it's, like with the grocery store issue, rather than just look to the existing set of players and the way they do things, the big players, because they're only going to do what they know how to do. But I think that there's all sorts of things that, smaller developers with a little bit more ingenuity, with, a little bit more craziness or, they're less averse to risk or, yeah. And they don't mind maybe making as much money, in the present.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I think that there is, certainly a role for, private development in providing affordable or relatively affordable housing.
Yeah. Now, just one last little bit. What is things that the government, I guess, civic and provincial, could do or undo that would actually make downtown a more dense, urban kind of place? So, what is one thing that or perhaps people should push for? If that's what they want to see in downtown.
I think I think probably the biggest thing is to move away from an emphasis on creating a part of one large section of downtown, the center of downtown, trying to turn that into an entertainment district. Or certainly downsizing that focus, and the rest of downtown kind of being seen as a conventional central business district, and so that involves some new policies and overall a new way of thinking about downtown as how can we, while it's important that things like the MTS Center are there and, the big offices at Portage and Main and, there's always going to be these large institutions, and it's always going to be a center of business for the city and for the province. But how can we take a lot more of downtown's geographical area and make it a dynamic, mixed-use, mixed-income very built up residential neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
first and foremost. So that requires a new way of thinking about our downtown and, and so it doesn't have to be like, we don't have to get rid of, all the old, we don't have to get rid of the convention center, not yet. And we don't have to get rid of the MTS center and we don't need to get rid of the Richardson building or convert it to condos or something
that. Yeah.
But, certainly the area between Portage Avenue and Broadway, some of the area north of Portage Avenue, it's been envisioned for decades as this is going to be, a very dynamic, modernist, central business district. That never happened. And so we get this downtown that is physically very spread out because you know, it's because it's so underbuilt. And so if we could take that, take some of that and just start to build on a smaller scale and not worry about getting the flashiest new rendering or, you know, like the biggest announcement or, you know, the potentially tallest building in the city. But even if it is small walk-up apartments, you know, clustered together along Hargrave and York or, you know, something like that, you know, it's slightly less glamorous, but that's the kind of way that we could create, you know, certainly a lot more foot traffic, a lot more people downtown, a lot more people who can support services like the grocery stores that are there and new grocery stores that could open and things like that. So I think that's one way. And so that involves a new way of thinking and setting priorities and policy direction in the city. But
okay, cool. Well, thanks a lot, Rob.
Yeah, no problem.